and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, we're in a frothy post-Iowa Santorum, mostly because it's Wednesday.
Steffi.
Oh, that's not heavy breathing I hear. Why? Could it be?
Yes.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Sexy liberal Hal Sparks. He's a man. He's an app. He's on the number one comedy album in the country. Ladies and gentlemen, Hal Sparks.
Yeah. I'm all over iTunes, like Santorum, all over Iowa.
Hey, what's the eye? All right.
So
he came in. He's number two, though, this morning.
Number two.
Yep.
That's, all joking aside.
Yes.
No, he isn't. I have it on, you know, good authority, but also on it should not surprise anybody. They bumped Mitt Romney to the top because it would have been super embarrassing.
Really?
Yeah. Four votes and then suddenly...
throwing out the first conspiracy sausage. Yeah, 8 votes? He won by 8 votes.
Right.
Mittens.
Not...
And those are just his kids.
Aha. I love... David Axelrod tweeted, "The sound Santorum is hearing right now is not the buzz of victory. It's the whirring of the Romney super PAC preparing to carpet bomb him."
Oh, absolutely. Here's the fun part, though. Rick Perry's pullout, you know, which, of course, you know, followed the Santorum surge.
Yes.
What?
What?
There's an image I don't remember.
What? I don't know.
Never mind.
I don't know what you're talking about.
have you heard someone selling a Santorum salad now?
Oh.
I just think I'm going to buy it. I don't
know. So Rick Perry is standing there goes, it literally saying, this has been the greatest honor of my life. Standing with the greatest moments of my life have been here in Iowa and blah, blah, blah. Standing right there in front of his kids. At least have the decency to go, besides the birth of my children, these have been just... I mean,
that's this moment right now of using them as props behind me.
Right. They're there. They're in the building. You know what I mean? It's forgivable if they were, you guys were on, I forgot, you guys were at school. I meant course. But they're there.
Hell, the important thing is why can't we have nice comedy things anymore? Why?
Oh.
Rick Perry is, what's he doing? He's going back to Texas, right, Crystal?
To reevaluate.
Yeah, determine if there's a path forward. For him. I thought this was a marathon yesterday. I thought this was only the first mile, and he was going to win. And he, bless his heart.
But doesn't...
He's going to see if there's a... And then Michelle Bachmann. Yeah. Please, God, no. Oh, dear Jehovah God, please don't let it be so. She's having a press conference today.
We are in the final days of hand.
We are in
the last days
of my campaign.
You are Jehovah God.
You are Jehovah God. And you screwed me royally. I hate you in your ass face.
And
sorry, that's Marcus.
Now I'll take questions from no one except the 700 Club.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Yeah, Marcus is going to snap.
Yeah.
He's going to have a pissy fit today. I don't know. It's 8 o'clock our time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 8 a.m. Pacific time. That'll be 11 o'clock Eastern. She's having a press conference. Yesterday, she was still all in Tracy Flick mode.
I can do this. We've bought our tickets already for South Carolina. We're going. We're moving forward.
Yay!
I traded them in for credit yesterday.
Yeah.
She canceled those tickets. Well, I think she got the... I think actually they were in her. They were asking for volunteers, and she got an extra night in Iowa and a $200 voucher towards her next U.S. Airways flight. And so I don't think it's a failure on her part. I think she's being frugal, and I think as a fiscally conservative, social nudnik, that was the smart move.
But she had the continental breakfast until she found out it's from France.
Yeah, wrong continent.
Jeez,
what continent is this? Excuse me. All
right.
Mr. Person behind the counter, faceless servant.
Hello.
What continent is this from? Marcus is allergic to anything but America.
All right, kids, the sexy liberals coming to Portland, Oregon this Saturday.
Yeah.
It's going to be a frothy, post-Iowa Santorum-y mix of fun.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the very few tickets left, I believe. Hurry, get them. Hal Sparks, John Fuglesang, and I coming to Portland, the first show of 2012. And, of course, the album Flying Off the Shelves. Get it. iTunes, Amazon, get it. TJ in Illinois with another unsolicited testimonial to Hal Sparks. The man, the app, the dessert topping.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Hey, Steph. I subscribe.
Just don't put it on Santorum salad.
No.
Nothing can compete with this array of flavors. There's nothing I can do.
TJ writes, hi, Steph. I subscribe to the Stephcast. Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Just before an overnight drive from Illinois to Florida, thank goodness I did the compelling witty banter from back-to-back hump days with Hal broadcast. Oh, those must have been best ofs last week.
Yeah.
Kept me going and alert in the wee hours of the night. Next, I plan on listening while exercising. I'm convinced the pounds will start to melt away that much faster.
It's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Please, witness the wonders of the sexy liberals. As the official cannabis-free disc golfer of the Stephanie Miller Show.
What?
Huh?
Those exist?
I can't wait to see what the Stephcast can do for my frisbee-throwing skills. Also, provably, will improve them.
There's an app for that.
Yeah.
See you March 3rd at the Chicago Theater. Yoo-hoo! Sexy Liberal. It's Super Saturday Show, Hal. Going crazy. Sales are going crazy. I would get your tickets quickly. It's going to be right before Super Tuesday. So what's I'm feeling super already.
I know.
No, Marcus Bachman.
I'm super.
He's a mistake.
All things considered, I couldn't be better, I'm a thing. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
I hope he's wearing a hat today at the press conference, don't you?
Little sailor hat.
Yeah, no.
A bowler.
It's a derby hat. He's going to be wearing, like, one of those enormous, like, competition chapeaus that the
Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, with the guy.
That Julia Roberts wore in Pretty Woman.
Exactly. The kind that has a train set riding around.
We'll be
brim.
Wearing something slinky.
Do you go with that?
Right. And pearls.
A Pippa Middleton hat.
Yeah,
a Pippa Middleton hat.
How?
Oh, my God.
I'm feeling Pippa. Thanks for asking.
Oh, my God. Kate just rocked this hat.
Look, Miss Thing.
Yeah.
I was made for this hat.
Oh, boy. Okay. So Mittens, the big winner by 8 votes.
8 whole votes.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thank you, Iowa, for the great send-off you're giving to us and to the others in this campaign. Look, this is a campaign night where America wins. We're going to change the White House and get America back on track.
Sure. Julie in Seattle sent us the fun facts on Mitt's actual win. Why? This was not a good, for a fiscal conservative, Hal.
Yeah.
Not really a good buy.
No.
For Schmittens, yeah. Hi, Seth. Official Iowa results from the middle of the night. So Mitt Romney got, I mean, literally 8 votes. They both got, it's a tie, 30,000 votes, essentially. But he got 8 more. Flipper just spent $4 million to quote-unquote win the Iowa caucuses, besting Frothy Santorum by 8 measly votes. It could have been worse. In 2008, Mitt spent $10 million to lose to Mike Huckabee by 10,000-odd votes. So this time, Mitt convinced 66 more Iowa Republicans to support him, and it cost him $6,000 a vote.
Wow.
Wow-wee.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hmm.
You are Jehovah God.
Oh, golly.
You do have a sense of humor. Oh, you may want me to get out, but... You're really tormenting those Mormons, and that's more important to me than winning for America.
Chutzpah. Oh, yeah, that took a lot of...
Because Mormons have chutzpah.
Mm-hmm. This will, you know, this is going to turn things around. Senator McCain will endorse Mitt Romney. There's the kiss of death.
Oh. Finally.
There's... He's for that one? Oh, boy.
I'm endorsing that one.
Here's the kiss of landslide death.
Get off my lawn. All you other candidates.
Oh, boy. Ron Paul finished a close third. As you know, the other breaking news out of Iowa, case you just wrote it up.
Yeah, and file this under news we can't ignore. Literally, Gingrich comes in with 10% of the vote. Ron Paul gets 21%, and they're acting like he doesn't exist.
Right.
Yep.
It's hilarious. Like, I don't know what this guy has to do.
Well, like, get the black vote.
Tomorrow, it's going to be... that's not going to happen.
No,
anytime
okay.
Soon.
Oh, I don't. He's not going to get the black vote from Rick Santorum, is he? Rick Santorum, did you hear him yesterday? Why? Take a listen.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Bottom line is, I don't want to make black people's lives better by giving them somebody else's money.
Wow.
I want to give them the opportunity to go out and earn the money.
Oh.
And provide for themselves and their families.
Oh.
And the best way to do that
is
to get the manufacturing sector of the economy
Who are they most people on? Oh, white people.
White people.
Are getting most of the welfare.
Yeah. What,
but it's black people need to be taught how to work.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's not because because all the white people who are
maybe
getting
send their kids
benefits
out to be janitors. That would help.
Yeah.
You know, he might accomplish better than George Bush if he actually becomes the nominee. Remember, George Bush had It was a 2% approval rating among black people, which is within the margin of error. So that led us to all sorts of extraterrestrials and scientific
mathematical impossibilities.
Yeah. Explanation on this show. Yeah, that it is possible that Yeah, more black people than are actually alive hated George Bush.
Right. They had to actually pull
black
other
culture
countries.
Guys, black fetuses. Yeah.
You had to. Right.
Sure.
The Tuskegee Airmen.
Julie in Tacoma. Hi, Julie.
Good morning, Steph. I was wondering if maybe Marcus would be wearing the doggy sunglasses.
He bought
the dog Boomer.
What?
I mean, that would be quite a fashion statement.
Oh, they're fabulous.
He did not.
Yes. He went out and bought.
Did Rick Santorum have any thoughts on the doggy style glasses?
Don't get me started.
I gotta get me a picture of that. I've heard about that, but I don't know what he was wearing them.
Do you think I look cute in these doggy glasses? No, he wasn't wearing them. He went out to get doggy glasses.
He's very worried about dog sunglasses on man.
Oh, boy.
No, that's
boy,
Santorum.
Oh, boy. Yeah, okay. Right. 18 minutes after the hour, it's a festive, brand shiny New Year hump days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Baby, you got the bomb on me. What's the time of me? You got the bomb on me. Baby.
It is been.
Realize the Bee Gees did that song. Is it a cover or?
Stephanie Miller's Show. Hot Days. All right. Wow. This is exceptionally weird for a New Year's show.
Yeah, well.
I don't think we'd be re-energized.
I think we're starting. I don't know anybody who can't watch the results in Iowa and not come away feeling like you're in some sort of bizarro world dream state.
Right.
Yep.
Santorum surging, then you've got Romney. They're calling it winning by 8 votes.
Yeah.
You're competing for a job. You're not winning. This isn't the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. You know, it's not a matter of points. It's that many people, that an equal number of people hate you as like you.
Don't you? Exactly. Don't you picture him in front of a mirror at some point, like a Stuart Smalley?
I'm good.
When he really counts like the amount of money.
Doggone it, I'm a person, just like a corporation. You bet.
And Gingrich is just going to have him by the throat.
Perfect. You're liar.
Yeah.
I love that. Are you calling Mitt Romney liar? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, liar. Mm-hmm. Liar. Pants on fire, frankly.
He's not frankly enough. Patrice in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Patrice.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Those results last night only proved that Obama was the winner.
Yeah.
Chris Matthews made an excellent point. He talked about how Romney was basically hiding behind these super PACs. You know, he's going on television, you know, acting as if he's the family guy and he's a good person, what have you, but behind closed doors. You know, he was pushing those super PACs to go against Newt Gingrich. Mm-hmm. And when you really look at it, Newt Gingrich is probably the first official 2012 victim of the Citizens United.
Citizens United, that's right.
You know, and what this illustrates is that the only thing that's holding up Romney is the money. And I still believe he is the weakest candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And if he goes against Obama, Obama's going to beat him.
Yeah,
I agree with you about that Obama would beat him. I don't think he's the weakest candidate. But I think the fact that Santorum is within swinging distance is amazing. And if they
Well, I mean, it just shows you how I think you're right. Weak a candidate Mitt Romney is. It's just the amount of money he's had to spend to get, and he's been at this same percentage of the vote, which is 25%.
Right.
I mean, 75% of that. It's really.
And at the same time, you've got Ron Paul, who's got more boots on the ground and more people actually doing the work. of a normal campaign, and he comes in at 21%. Santorum is literally going on Fox. He got the Glenn Beck endorsement, and he's been going to pizza joint to pizza joint.
God.
Yeah. And here's a guy who got lost in a landslide in his own, got rejected by his own state in a landslide.
Don't you think maybe Santorum was just in the right place and peaked at the right time? He was the only one to peak at the right time.
Nobody took him seriously, so they didn't run ads against him. They were like, huh?
He was just the last one to peak, nobody and it just happened to be at the right time.
He was right. He was right on the top of the Santorum surge, riding that wave.
Plus, they needed him to take down. They needed to take Ron Paul down a notch, and Ron Paul didn't take him seriously because he's not a serious candidate. That actually shows judgment on Ron Paul's part, I think. Santorum is literally, they were just like Santorum, and Romney needed him as to be the evil, the dark voice against Ron Paul to keep that at bay, and then they ended up splitting it three ways. It's just.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
You know what? For the sexy liberals, it's all good, because you're right. It's a new comedy binky pops up when one looks like we're going to be losing Nick Perry and Michelle Bachmann. But
his second place coming in,
so to speak, as it were,
in this actually guarantees he will be prominent in the next debates, which is going
to
be
not often, not way off to the side in the dark.
Hey, I'm over here.
Hey.
I know. The ABC debate is this Saturday, and they're going to have to deal with
replace him with Andy Sandberg and see if anyone notices.
You're right.
What time is it? We should just air it live and do Mr. Science Theater 3000 for Sexy Liberal in Portland.
That's a great idea. Santorum is actually a Chevy Chase character. Like, you know how mad Chevy Chase is that he's not still on SNL and 35?
We gave him a new slogan yesterday, Shiny and Whiny. Because he is. He's both shiny and whiny.
Yeah.
He's incredibly shiny. I don't know why. All right. This is how easy it's going to be to beat Mitt Romney. So, Jim, we were talking about this yesterday. Now I have the actual script. Did you see this? Him quoting lines of, what is it, America the Beautiful?
Oh, no.
Like, what's his name in My Fair Lady? You know, that kind of speaking, singing?
Yes, Rex Harrison.
Uh-huh.
Why can't a woman be more like a man? Well, that's Marcus Bachman's line, but, you know.
I just wanted to, seriously. I mean, Sarah Palin makes me want to pour hot coffee in my... But it makes me want to jam something in my eye. I don't know. This is okay. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. And then he comments on each of the lines.
Oh, no.
If you count corn as an amber wave of grain, why? You have them right here. What a wonderful place this is.
God, wow.
Could he be more vomitous and insincere? Mr. Romney, I love this part of the story. Mr. Romney does not just recite lyrics. He annotates them, offering his interpretation of the meaning. Oh, what delightful entertainment. You know what? We should do something this Saturday in Portland. Now, let's pick a song. I don't know, Nights in White Satin.
Yeah.
And we'll just do one line, and then we'll, you know, talk about the meaning of the lyric.
It's like beat poetry by robots.
Right. Maybe we, in honor of Herman Cain, we could pick another song from Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or exactly. Some other
that
random.
That can be impossible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife. Any veterans in here in this room today? Thank you for your service.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He's like a bad Vegas lounge singer. Oh, God. I mean...
Wow.
God. Oh, God, he just could not be more inauthentic
and
irritating.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Huh? Woof. Okay.
He starts rapping. It's all over.
29 minutes after the hour. Wrap back. More Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Look, you little smartass. I think you are a godless, socialist, pot-smoking, maggot-infested member of the Blame America First crowd. And I think you want the terrorists to win.
Uh-huh. Boy, howdy. Chucky Darn, that's us. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
No blitz.
1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere.
No blitz.
Mitt Romney is using Herman Cain's discarded catchphrases now.
No
in the
blitz.
Catchphrase half-price bin.
No blitz.
No blitz. Apples and oranges.
Oh, now in honor of Mitt Romney not just reciting lyrics, he annotates them.
Annotates
them, explaining their meaning. We would like to... Hal, I think you need to do this on stage.
Sure.
Saturday.
Nice and white satin.
You know, I think satin is an underappreciated fabric. Mm-hmm.
It's a
lovely Silk Road. It's our bridge trade-wise with China. Never reaching the end of this Iowa campaign.
Never reaching the end of my magic underwear.
Okay. All right. Letters oh, there you go. There you go.
At that point, I ran out of actually knowing the lyrics of that song.
He's trying to do Shatner's act.
Exactly. Yeah. He's stealing William Shatner's act. Mm-hmm. All right. Rocket Man. I got a text from political strategist extraordinaire David Bender last night that predicted... Santorum! Oh, David Bender, you underestimated the Santorum surge. You overestimated the Santorum surge.
By 8 votes.
No, you
by
didn't.
By 8 votes, which I think Hal is exactly right. You know, those 8 votes somehow
magically
up,
appeared at the last minute. After,
magic.
Yeah.
It's the they're in the magic underwear.
Totally. They were hidden in Romney's underpants.
It is interesting to watch this whole process play out. How are you? Happy New Year, kids.
Happy New Year, David Bender.
This is, we are off to the races now. This is actually like a Marx Brothers movie. This is a day at the races, and soon it'll be a night at the opera, because what we're going to see over Saturday and Sunday, you've been talking about it. By the way, that debate is from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time, the debate.
They know when their demographic goes to bed.
The Republican debate. So you may be able to catch some of it and even be able to.
It'll be fresh when we hit the stage. In Portland.
Wait, exactly. How am I?
You can recite Knights in White Satin right from the debate.
How am I going to watch that and get the blue plate special?
So, David, do you think, like I do, that you know this officially, not just for comedians' sake or whatever, but this means Santorum is a solid force in the debates, at least for the next couple
Absolutely.
Of weeks?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, he actually gets lighting now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And what's going to happen is Gingrich, if you watch Gingrich's speech last night, which was really interesting, Gingrich, in not conceding, started off by praising Santorum, saying we served together, he's my friend, he's a good man, he didn't run a negative campaign,
right.
We really like him. And he's going to be his wingman. He's going to go in there, and the next metaphor that Gingrich used was talking about strapping on a nuclear weapon, which is what terrorists will do.
Oh, right. Boy.
That's who Newt Gingrich will be going into these, and there are two
right. Well,
debates.
I mean, David, you know, I was reading a piece about, you know, how Newt blew it in Iowa roadmap, and isn't it what a lot of strategists that know him have said? They said, you know, he will be defeated by Newt Gingrich, who always defeats him. It's
right.
His own ego and his, you know...
And having said that, his own ego is still at work here. He is so angry at Mitt Romney and the super PACs. The super PACs spent more, a couple million dollars, than Romney spent on his own campaign. Ben Ginsburg, the attorney for Romney, tried to say, well, we're not affiliated with any of them, and then got caught up in the language, of course they're affiliated.
Yeah.
And this is what is, obviously now they're going to try and pivot. They're going to go after, there's even been a little preliminary, you know, you're seeing how they're going to try and tie Rick Santorum into voting for pork, into being a typical Washington insider. They'll try and do that. They don't have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
We're only a week out from New Hampshire. So these debates, the one on Saturday night, and then there's one on Meet the Press Sunday morning, this is where everyone is going to turn on Mitt Romney.
Right.
And we're going to see what he's made of. We're going to see if he can take Hell's Kitchen, as he refers to it.
Well, he gets ruffled.
And,
yes, you know,
ridges.
Yes. Well, you remember the one debate with Rick Perry where we were almost at the tent scene in Brokeback Mountain. There was almost angry gay hate sex. But, yeah, he gets really flustered, right?
Well, he does. And then Rick Perry went out and bought the jacket from Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
It was a lovely thing.
You know, by the way.
Here's what's going to happen today while this show is on the air. You're going to hear Michelle Bachmann dropping out.
Ugh.
Now, there are two people.
Marcus,
if you think about what these numbers mean, and let's look at them. 25% of the vote is what Mitt Romney got.
Mm-hmm.
He got 30% of the vote last time against Huckabee. He got a greater percentage of the vote. But it was basically he and Santorum each got 25% of the vote. He actually got 6 physical votes less. I beg to differ. I checked it carefully.
Mm-hmm.
He got 6 physical votes less than he got 4 years ago. But the point is he got a smaller percentage of the vote, and the votes of Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann combined. That's 15% of who voted. Those people are all Santorum supporters. Those
right.
people are all people who Santorum can pick up in South Carolina. And that's where this is going to come down to. There's no surprise if Mitt Romney wins New Hampshire if he does less than 50% of the vote. He's at about 47% now. If he gets less than half, frankly, they're going to say, hey, there's something wrong here. He's losing steam. That's what we have to look to right now. In South Carolina, if Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry, when he goes home to reassess, if the two of them either stay out or endorse Santorum, then you're going to watch how this thing is going to break.
Yeah.
And that's what to look for.
Is Perry out?
Oh.
He will be out.
Yeah.
He isn't yet. He's going home. He's reassessing. I don't know what that means.
He needs to shoot a couple of coyotes.
It means
get it out of his system.
It means that you can't fold a tent immediately. So you have to pull the pegs
exactly.
up first, and you have to pour Poles. Water on the fire
yep.
And remember,
finish the beans.
There's a lot of money still in Rick Perry's bank accounts, that super PAC for
right.
Rick Perry. That money could easily be spent on going after his broke-back buddy.
Yeah.
yeah.
So we'll see how this shakes down. Now, at the end of all of this, if you look down, it's what I've been saying for months. Florida is going to decide this thing. Florida is where all of these other states combined pale by comparison, because real delegates, real numbers of delegates get elected in Florida. And that's where McCain put it away. That's the end of this month. It's the end of January.
Yeah.
So we will see. And if it comes down to a Santorum versus Mitt Romney, head-to-head. We'll see what Florida voters are going to do. This is the state that gave us Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I don't know that endorsements matter here. This is politics, and it may well be that Mitt Romney is never going to get more than 25 or 30% of any Republican electorate, so he's counting on a divided field.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I can't, you've alluded to, but the fact that, you know, the politics has always been a dirty business. It's nasty. You know that you've been in it forever, but I don't think I've seen this level of personal hatred toward, I mean, like you say, that's going to be the thing to watch for in this debate, right? I mean, particularly Newt Gingrich, right?
The last time I saw this much personal hatred was 4 years ago when everyone hated Mitt Romney this much as well.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney seems to inspire this in his fellow candidates. It wasn't as much out in the open, but my God, John McCain hated him. Now, John McCain, of course, fallen in the line today. We'll see what the lady in Alaska does. She already had tweeted yesterday that she was encouraging Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, to think that maybe this isn't her year. So you've got people like Palin. And have you seen that Rupert Murdoch is now tweeting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And
well,
he's tweeting for Santorum.
Yeah. Fox and Santorum got the Glenn Beck endorsement, if there is to be one.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. Gold. Buy gold.
Gold.
Yeah. Romney's one of those guys, though, who is the only candidate up there who looks like he might have to suspend his campaign because he's overwhelmed with foreclosures he needs to take care of.
Yeah.
And that's one of his issues. You know, they were doing entrance polls, which was interesting last night. And because I guess exit polls can be very swayed afterwards because it's an
yeah.
argument, basically.
Yeah.
They were saying that a lot of people, everybody who was there for Romney was basically a well-to-do white person.
He won the over $100,000 vote.
Right.
He was,
yeah.
he was doing very
curious,
well.
Which is a thinner vote than it
David,
used to be.
take a listen to this. So is this going to hurt Romney, or is it just going to make Newt Gingrich, you know, look like the nasty bastard that he is?
Because this is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth. It's just like his pretense that he's a conservative. Here's a Massachusetts moderate who has tax-paid abortions in Romney Care, puts Planned Parenthood in Romney Care, raises hundreds of millions of dollars of taxes on businesses, appoints liberal judges to appease Democrats, and wants the rest of us to believe somehow he's magically a conservative.
Newt is really saying is he's a liar.
Yeah, and yeah. then he did. He said it. They asked him, are you calling him a liar? He's like, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, is it going to hurt him? It's going to hurt him actually more now that this won't be about Newt. If Newt is doing this to the benefit not of his own resurgence, but frankly to deny Romney the nomination, to take him out in the way that he was taken out by Romney's super PAC, yeah, it can hurt. These things, these are all the things that, you know, are waiting there, the flip-flops on every position imaginable. Mm-hmm. And if those come out in South Carolina and in Florida, then on Super Tuesday, with a lot of southern states voting, a lot of strong conservative states voting, then Santorum is the beneficiary. Now, look. Yep.
But may I just say, all this.
It's about money.
Yeah.
And if Santorum, who doubled his strength in New Hampshire overnight, he was at 5% going in, CNN polled overnight, he's now at 10% in New Hampshire.
Mm. That
is fine, but if you do not have the resources, the money will be pouring in from the internet, and you literally have to figure out a way to spend it in time. And this is the problem. Santorum can't gear up. He may have to inherit some of those high-priced Rick Perry people.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he can get somebody's organization to help put this in place, there is a chance to build a ground game alternative to Mitt Romney. If not, Romney's got it nailed simply because he has invested that already.
Yep. I mean, all this being said, it's a spectacular year for our side, isn't it?
Oh, it's so much
fun.
Oh,
my gosh.
And I do think your caller was right that the big winner was Barack Obama, who's playing this exactly as he should. Now, think about Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a relatively young man. He is, I believe, 53 years old, started in politics very, very young in the House and then the Senate. Look at where he comes from. Even though he lost by 18 points last time, he still has credibility in a swing state, a northern swing state. And if Mitt Romney, if he continues to, consolidate, Santorum, his position now, you wouldn't have said this 2 weeks ago. You would have said he was a Google joke.
Yep.
But now Rick Santorum is positioned as the perfect running mate to Mitt Romney.
Listen, I have compassion for him because, at the town halls in Seattle that I do, I'm always on the end of the stage, too, because in the dark because I'm drinking and making fart jokes.
Sure.
And Tom Hartman and Randy Rhodes are in charge of the smart stuff. So I understand being marginalized.
And Rick Santorum is also drinking and making fart jokes. Unfortunately, they're on camera.
It's what he calls policy. But I got to say, though, I really don't see a Santorum Romney bridge being built because I really do think that evangelical voter split is a lot darker and a lot more sound than people even want to admit.
Yeah, and I think they hate each other too much for the political expediency that has taken place in previous years.
Santorum is at this point yet. This is not a hating situation. Santorum has been pretty positive, and he is at the end of the day a politician and a young politician who says, "Look what happened to Sarah Palin. I can go on this ticket. Suppose we lose. I am then the de facto. I've done my duty. I've put in my time. I have helped bring the Christian evangelicals to Mitt Romney, the nominee. That was what Sarah Palin's job was for John McCain, to de-secularize him.
But I think there's a thinner distance between secular and evangelical and Mormon and evangelical. I think
it's not a happy marriage,
no,
to be sure. But think about it. It's that or Marco Rubio.
It's hard to tell what degree it's his Mormonism or what other degree it's his vomitous insincerity that makes people.
They've never had a problem with that before.
I think he could be Mormon or Martian. And it is the fact that if you look at him, this man is actually not a Mormon, he's a mannequin. And that's going to be at the end of the day, that's going to be the problem. People cannot connect to him.
I claim this planet in the name of Utah.
Exactly. All right. David Benda, political strategist extraordinaire. Love you, honey.
Portland.
Thanks, onward. I love you, honey. See you later.
See ya.
All right. 48 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. I can't make it down. I can't make it down. So get down your feet and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up and get down.
Welcome to Stephanie Miller's House of Pain. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Lindsay in Chicago's a Ron Paul fan. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Steph. How are you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm such a huge fan. I just want to say, first of all, I listen to you every single day.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, yeah, I just wanted to...
So you love both me and Ron Paul. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes. Actually, is that a contradiction?
Sometimes. That's the thing. Is that there are more bridge points, I think, with Ron Paul than there are with any of the other Republican candidates, to be certain.
But
there are also a lot of divergent parts. I mean, the elimination of the Department of Energy, the Department of Education, the EPA.
The hating of the blacks and the gays.
Right.
Lindsay,
it's a bit
rough.
What do you like?
What do you like about Ron Paul?
Let me just say what I like about Ron Paul is that I think that he's focused on the larger issue, which is actually restoring the economy. And I think that he has a vision. And some of the smaller things, I've done a lot of research into some of the more troubling comments that have been associated with him in the past.
Uh-huh. In the Ron Paul newsletter?
Yes. Those are quite troubling.
Yes.
But I think some things were taken out of context. I don't want to get off on that. But I think that there are a lot of issues that are meant to distract people from seeing the larger picture, which is the fact that there is so much waste going on, and there's a lot of people. The situation with the Department of Education, for example, mm-hmm. ever since the Department of Education came around, uh-huh. loans have been subsidized, which allows more people to go to school.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, the standards have been dropped, and then the tuition goes up because people are able to pay it because they have these loans. So
that was part of the issue with private banks getting to in the loan business, driving that price up, you know, because they could get this free money from the government. Barack Obama actually said, why, if the government is guaranteeing all these loans and the banks have zero risk, why are the banks in the business of it? Why are they getting a profit from something they offer no risk for? They were getting free money for this. So Barack Obama presented this, and they removed that. And that was actually one of the big steps, was now the government directly guarantees those loans, stopping part of what you're talking about. The elimination, we're not talking about whether or not the price of the tuition for college is a big, you know,
yeah.
Is
I mean, you
too
don't think
high.
It's a little extreme, Lindsay, to just completely eliminate the Department of Education?
And the EPA and the Department of Energy. And
Lindsay?
On and on.
And that comes down, and with the EPA, you know, there's some things to work out, but that's not his primary focus. I mean, he's been asked, like,
it doesn't matter whether it's his primary focus. It's his policy. When he gets into office, this is what he will do. He said in multiple debates, there are five departments he would immediately dissolve.
Okay, well, the EPA, what he's saying is that property rights would ensure that there's no pollution because it's against the
what?
Law to pollute your neighbors.
Okay, that's ridiculous. But you can't control the level of pollution. If there's no legal recourse,
Lindsay,
you can't fight against it.
And the other thing,
you just have cancer and you die.
Lindsay, the other thing is that, again, it's policy. You know, it's not, I agree with you that he probably didn't write every racist thing in those newsletters, but he published it. And furthermore, he believes in overturning the Civil Rights Act. So it's not just, you know, some horrible racist statements that he may or may not have known about. It's his policy.
It's the actualization of it.
Well, I understand that, but there's still a lot of things that I respect about him, and I do
in spite
think that,
of that.
For what it's worth, he's stood by his guns for the past 30 years.
The Grand Dragon of the KKK has been consistent in his viewpoints forever. That doesn't. Louis Farrakhan has been consistent in his viewpoint
Some
forever.
Some people are consistently wrong.
Yeah, consistency is not not indicative of character.
All right, Lindsay, we appreciate you calling, though. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Right, respecting someone doesn't mean you have to vote for them, for God's sakes. Well, the other people I respect, I wouldn't vote for.
Really consistent. He's all over the map. On some things, he's very good. And others, he's just, you know, diametrically opposed.
Yeah, yeah. You're just good. No, what?
He wants to fold up the entire tent of the federal government,
right.
Period.
It's this fetish.
That's
of
why he's anti-imperialist, because he doesn't think the government should exist in its current form. So
in any form.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Rick Perry just forgot the branches he wanted to get rid of. All of them. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Show. Happy New Year! It's our first Hump Days with Hal Sparks 2012.
Oh, yeah.
The new improved version.
Right.
Not that 2011 wasn't awesome. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website.
You can always get better.
Yeah. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. We are off to... Oh, looky here. Ellen in Washington. OMG, coming to Portland. That's this Saturday,
yeah.
First one of 2012. Hi, Steph. Look, I'm writing in the big box. Oh, good girl. Yay. Husband and I will be in the orchestra section for your big show in Portland. He just asked if dress is casual. Can we wear jeans or do we have to dress up? Oh, for God's sake.
Computer says no.
We're liberals. No. We don't
care.
Fake a suit.
Whatever.
Santorum's giving a speech right now. He's behind a podium. He's not wearing pants.
Don't even wear pants, the sexy liberal.
No.
What's the point?
Yeah, that's...
You won't end the night in them anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
You'll wake up in somebody else's pants.
Sexy liberal. Facebook, sexy liberal. By the way. Mm-hmm. Oh! I hate this. So Roland, Sexy Liberal Tour Director, sent us another warning about a scalper site. Go to only use the links at SexyLiberal.com or Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Roland writes, a fan pointed this out to me on Facebook. I did some investigating. They Googled Paramount Seattle. That's where we're playing in Seattle. When the heck is that? That's a long time from now. But
September.
Yes! September 29th, my birthday. Thank you. This was in the first link in the ad section. It says official box office site. It looks like the Paramount Theater where we're playing, but it's not. It is a scalping site. The site below is selling orchestra seats, not VIP seats, but regular orchestra for $341. The price we're selling them for is $51.25. They're selling mezzanine seats for $78.25. We're selling them for $21.25.
Yep.
We're taking price considerations very, very seriously by our fans and making sure there are always tickets available for less than $25 in all markets. This makes it seem like our cheapest seat is $75. So again, sexyliberal.com. If there's a question posted on Facebook, we will answer it. Roland will be all over it.
Absolutely. And by the way, those aren't even prices where they're trying to get the money from you. They're trying to price it out, to empty out parts of the seats so that they can say, look, people didn't even show.
No market for Liberal.
They're trying to make our sellout events look like, I don't know, a Glenn Beck event or a Rush Limbaugh event.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
90 people on rascal scooters with keep your government hands off my Medicare signs.
Yes.
Right. Like
when
a biker gang. You
yes.
Know.
When in reality, we are sold out. We are already sold out. Already sold out in, let's see, Madison is sold out in April, sorry. Phoenix is sold out in February. But there are very few tickets left for Portland this Saturday.
Yeah.
Chicago, March 3rd. Albuquerque, March 31st. They're all going fast. So hurry, get your tickets for all of that and go use the official site. And thank you for making us the number one comedy album over the holidays. We were on number on Amazon, on iTunes, on Billboard.
Yeah.
Billboard had to write to us and go, what the?
Who are you?
Even a physical CD. It's a download.
Right.
And we were number one in the Hot Shot debut.
Mm-hmm.
In April 2011, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour launched in Madison, Wisconsin. Since then, over 18,000 fans have experienced America's hottest, most acclaimed, and sought-after live comedy show. Stephanie Miller and her Sexy Liberal players are proud to announce their first live tour album, which Billboard magazine ranked a Hot Shot debut. Now, everyone can experience the phenomenal comedy trio of John Fugelsang.
When they go teabagging, it's a couple of big mouths controlling all the nuts.
Hal Sparks.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of somebody else.
And Stephanie Miller.
She's super freaky.
Oh, babies, who's ready to get their sexy on with mama?
Go to iTunes or Amazon.com to download Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, Volume 1, for your very own piece of progressive comedy history.
We love you, sexy liberals. Good night.
Own the comedy album ranked number one on both iTunes and Amazon.com. And get some sexy liberal comedy into your life today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You see, the only problem, how they gave away my whole act there.
Right. You know,
I say, you ready to get... And then I just grope some people and stagger around and then say goodnight.
You can't show that on audio, so you do have to come live to see the groping in person. It just doesn't do it justice.
The groping and the fondling and the things of this nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, just sort of breaking news.
Oh,
pardon
me.
Got,
yes.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And we got this from our lovely folks in the chat at HalSparks.com. Thank you very much.
Mm. Oh, sorry. HalSparks.com.
Yes.
Go ahead.
AP sources. Obama bucks GOP, OK's consumer watchdog. In a defiant display of executive power, President Barack Obama on Wednesday will buck GOP opposition and name Richard Cordray as the nation's chief consumer watchdog, even though the Senate contends the move is inappropriate. Senior administration's officials told the Associated Press.
Okay. Yay! I wonder what future Senator Elizabeth Warren thinks of that.
He will head the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
The good guys are winning, Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
We've been saying it and saying it, and I'm just saying.
Yep.
Well,
and,
I think history will show that the Republicans winning the House will have been the best thing for Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it just shows what unbelievable.
And this primary is going to be long and bloody and just get more and more ridiculous as it goes on.
They were able to, you know, that compassionate conservative nonsense that they were selling for a long time. Once they got in, you know, where they got the reins again after their panic over Barack Obama, they really showed who they are and what their priorities are.
We couldn't have written that better, Hal. I mean, booing a gay soldier, cheering uninsured people dying.
Yeah.
What else? I can't even recall. Cheering executions. I mean, if you could write a script for this is what compassionate conservatism is, you know,
people. It's a farce. Yeah. And they got it was like in the middle of his debates, they were running so fast to try and charge what they thought was this hubristic win that they were going to have. Somebody stepped on their sheep's clothing and it all came off. Mm-hmm.
They all collectively stepped on their own.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just hope CNN finally comes around and stops pretending both sides do it. Everything's the same.
Yeah, everything's the same. David in Minneapolis.
There.
Yeah. David.
Hey, Mama. Yes. Can you imagine the whitest man in America debating with a black president? This is going to be the strangest thing ever when that debate takes place. I mean, it's not just the person, that the individuals, but what they represent. We've got very privileged, born into wealth, never really had to break a sweat guy, represents everything that the Occupy movement is trying to deal with.
Yep.
And then we have this guy raised by a single mother, from the bottom, all the bootstraps kind of stuff that the Republicans are always telling Americans to do. So he does that very thing, and yet that very thing becomes penalized because it's not really supposed to succeed.
Right.
They're just supposed to tout those words to make everybody feel kind of good and put us all to sleep, but not really believe it or live it.
Yep, good point.
I play basketball too, my friend.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to score a home run from downtown.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Damn right. Better than yours.
Actually, Jim, I share your hope that CNN stops treating everything like both sides are equal, but I first hope that Wolf Blitzer sets and spend some time with Mr. Google.
Santorum's campaign says his surge to third place in the polls in recent days is unleashing a sudden spurt in his fundraising.
Snuggle up with Mr. Google for a minute.
And by the way, it was a 350% rise in their donations or whatever, which I think brings him to $349.
By the way, someone named Santorum has nerve calling someone else disgusting, but he called Ron Paul disgusting yesterday.
Why?
Probably for all the wrong reasons.
The robocalls that claims Santorum is pro-choice and against the Second Amendment, which is the worst thing you can say. You're disgusting.
I am pro-life, except when you're on the wrong side of a pistol held by a drunk person with a concealed carry permit who's mentally deranged, but there should be no limitations on the carrying of guns in preschools and movie theaters, and I want people...
We should serve liquor at recess.
A thin division in their brain between reality and fantasy to be sitting in a movie theater, liquored up with a gun on their hip,
ready to
fire at the screen or anybody between them and row three.
By the way, we're getting probably sometime today. We'll have pictures from my vacation in Montana up, and our video. Will you send it the video of Lisa and my vacation? We went to Paws Up Resort in Montana, which is fabulous.
Uh-huh.
But that's how you know I'm a liberal. I cried when I shot a gun. I thought, oh, this will be fun. We'll shoot the clay pigeons, and I was like, it's loud.
It's a big noise.
Huge kickback.
It's a big noise.
I'm a girl.
But here's the thing. I grew up in Kentucky. I have no problem in the abstract with guns. And I think a lot of rednecks, if they're going to be completely honest about it, they don't want a gun because they're macho. They want a gun because the woods is scary and full of other rednecks. The problem is...
It's the rednecks.
People in cities don't want people running around with guns because there's a lot of different people and they recognize that just because somebody looks different from you doesn't mean they're a threat. And you realize that by living next to people who are different.
I found just shooting a gun upsetting.
Right.
It was jarring and,
I go to the LAX gun range. In Vegas, I have been known to go to those places where you can shoot big machine guns. I have no problem with that part of it. It's the concealed carry plus liquor.
I went to see if the clay pigeon was all right, if I hurt its feelings, because that's just how liberal I am.
Well, you know, whenever there's something like the Virginia Tech thing, and they say, well, if everyone had been armed,
there'd
the cops
be more
would
dead
know who
people.
To shoot. Yeah. Right. There'd be a bloodbath.
Oh, I almost, you know, shot myself. You know how spazzy I am. I just thought, oh, I should try this. And then I was like, but then I started hitting them, and then I'm like, oh, well, I'm a good shot. Now I'm into this.
Right.
So you see how quickly you can turn from liberal to bloodlust? Like that.
Yeah.
Well, clay lust in this
case. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Conda, a deep-seated hatred of Clay now.
Right.
Conda in Alabama. Hey, Conda.
Hello. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say one thing. No, two things. First, I am definitely a fan of Hal Sparks. I'm a fan of yours, too.
Thank you.
But I am a fan of Hal Sparks.
Thank you.
Listen, with my self-image, I'm way more a fan of Hal Sparks than me. Trust me. I'm with you there, sister.
Secondly, I wanted to comment on the young woman that called in who is a Ron Paul supporter,
right,
who seemingly says that racism can be just, it's incidental and could be swept under the rug. That people like her, they are the problem when it comes to racism. And I think it's because they have, maybe it's because I'm a black woman and I've grown up in the South and my family was really, really big in the civil rights movement. I wish I could have been around to be a part of that, but I wasn't. Therefore, I think that it is because America doesn't allow black people to grieve whatever happened years ago, as in the Jews are able to grieve the Holocaust. They wouldn't dare say to
Well, and by the way, if Ron Paul had his druthers, we would not have gotten involved in World War II because he said saving the Jews was, quote, none of our business.
And the creation of Israel was a mistake. That was one of the other issues.
Exactly. But it's such a difference when we talk about, when I talk about the civil rights movement and what happened, slavery, with some of my white friends who are here. And sometimes they'll say to me, but my grandparents were poor too. And I'm thinking, a poor white person and a poor black person in the 50s, 60s, 40s, 20s.
But your poor white relatives owned my poor black relatives.
Well, thank you.
A little key difference. Thank you.
There weren't a wall set up by the white establishment at that time to guarantee that black people couldn't get loans to start a business, couldn't move into better neighborhoods, couldn't live in certain areas.
Yep.
It's the same thing that was applied to women wanting to live on their own or start a business or vote or all those things. And now gays are the next frontier of that, and Hispanics, because every Hispanic in this country, according to this GOP,
and
is
now
illegal.
Republicans are trying to magically take us back in time to a time when black people couldn't vote.
Right.
Only this time they call it voter ID law.
We should let
18 minutes after.
The states decide.
Yeah. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there, try it free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use promo code Stephanie. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dennis in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, guys. First of all, I want to talk about, I'm a conservative, so I want to talk about Ron Paul. First of all, we do not claim him. He is a libertarian. He's actually to the left of Obama on foreign affairs. So just for the record, the normal conservatives really don't claim Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I want to talk about Rick Santorum. He has a stigma as, anti-gay, from the left.
He doesn't have a stigma
as
anti-gay.
Well, when you compare gay sex to man-on-dog sex, that tends to be somewhat offensive to gay
anti-gay.
People.
Anti-gay.
Well, he has the same exact view as Barack Obama.
No, he doesn't.
No, Barack Obama has never compared gay sex to man-on-dog sex.
Yeah, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I think, proves as a point that he varies from Santorum's view of gays directly.
He simply believes that marriage, the way it's been for 400 years, that is between a man and a woman. Why is that? Why is it evil?
400?
Why is pro-family evil? I don't understand.
Why can't gay people have families?
Yeah.
They can. They can adopt. All I'm saying is.
But they can't get married, and in some states you can't adopt unless you're a married couple.
Right.
Well, then that's a state issue. All I'm saying is marriage is between a man and a woman. That's the way it's been for 400 years.
Yes, women didn't used to be able to vote, and black people didn't used to be able to get married to white people, and there's a lot of things the way it always used to be.
Well, that's fine, but he's like casted as just this evil person because he's pro-family.
And that,
he's not just pro-family, he's anti-gay. If he was just pro-family, here's the thing. How does gay marriage affect your family?
The only thing that he is saying that he's...
No, I mean you. I'm asking you, because you're agreeing with him. You're supporting him because he's pro-family. How does gay marriage limit your ability to get married, have marriage, have a family?
Because I think this is a traditional country. That's the way it was founded.
No, I mean you. How does it affect you? Would you get divorced if gay people could get married? Would you say marriage doesn't have any meaning?
I tell you what. I tell you how it affects me. I was in Atlanta about a year ago, standing in line at a restaurant. There's two men sitting there kissing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to explain to my 9-year-old daughter why two grown men were sitting there kissing. And that was a very uncomfortable moment. Mm-hmm. And
okay, so it makes you feel icky. So you want to limit the rights of another human being because you don't know how to communicate to your 9-year-old that gay people exist.
No, all I'm saying is I think that...
No, that's exactly what you're saying.
Okay, Dennis, is that the worst thing that's ever going to happen to your kid? Why can't you just explain how you feel about that to her? Is that like having to witness something horrific that she'll never get over?
Well, I did explain to her, and the only thing I'm saying is that marriage,
So your rights aren't, you can say, daddy, whatever you want to say, daddy doesn't agree with that or thinks homosexuality is wrong or whatever you want to teach your own kids. Nobody's telling you what you can teach your own kids, right?
Exactly.
So why does that limit your rights?
So why do you want to limit their rights to show affection to each other in public?
That's not what I'm saying.
But it is. But you're supporting a candidate, and you're saying all he is pro-family, and he's not anti-gay, but you're actually wanting to limit the rights of another human being legally based on the fact that it makes you feel icky or makes you have to have an uncomfortable conversation.
Only
but those guys weren't married. They were kissing in public. You don't know they were married.
Exactly. Okay,
so you don't want anybody who's unmarried to kiss in public. Is this what was established? This.
All right. I think we've ridden that into the barn. Now,
apparently, before the 17th century, you could marry your cow, according to him, because 400 years ago.
Yeah. Marriage has only been around for 400 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm just playing this soundbite because Rick Santorum says bottom up.
What? The essential issue in this race is freedom. Whether we will be a country that believes that government can do things for us better than we can do for ourselves, or whether we believe,
build highways,
as our founders did, that rights come to us from God, and when he gave us those rights, he gave us the freedom to go out and live those rights out, to build a great and just society, not from the top down, but from the bottom up.
Okay, so that's right. You can build your own highways and sewer systems.
Yeah, and if God gave you... God gave you not only in his belief system the right to choose correctly, he also gave you the right to choose wrongly in that opinion and whatever that moral structure you believe is. So if God gave you that right to choose, why would you take it away on a legislative level? If you think homosexuality is a sin, but at the same time you want it legally legislated, you want the rule of law to take care of it, that means you want it to no longer be a moral choice.
You have the right to believe like I do.
Yeah. Right. I look forward to the first day he's president, and every day is Make Your Own Highway Day. Yeah. Everyone go ahead. Right. Do your best.
Yeah, right. Looking good, guys. No, not everybody can build a clover leaf. Okay. I know they're pretty from the sky.
Okay, well... That might have taken a little engineering.
Clovers.
Yeah. It might have taken a little of that fancy socialist engineering, but all right.
Yeah. We can do things for ourselves, like fight wars. No, wait, no draft, though.
The whole country will just be one DuPont circle. Just the roads just go in circles, nowhere else. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like S&M magazines. S&M is my abbreviation for
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you, Bob. It was tighter than tight, but Santorum did come out number two. Oh, heavens to Betsy. Okay.
Uh-oh. Bach, breaking news.
Oh, no. Is she having a
Michelle
press conference
Bachmann
now?
To suspend campaign.
Suspending? Oh.
And Marcus, this is livid. I'll never be first lady now.
What's suspending? Is she just suspended in midair now? Like in The Matrix, just with Herman Cain next to her?
She's like Tebow with a missed Hail Mary pass.
It'd be a partial rapture.
Oh, and now they're dancing.
I'll just be floating in
the
sky.
They're dancing. They're not dancing. They're doing the jitterbug.
Is this live or is this old dancing?
She's going to be suspended like Genevieve Bugeaud in Coma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, hanging from wires so she doesn't get bed sores.
Exactly, starring Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
Why can't we have any nice comedy things anymore? Okay. All right. Yes. She's a half an hour early, for God's sakes.
She's not talking now. But
she's not talking, but news has broken. That's what she will say in about 25 minutes.
Yeah. Trust us.
I have asked Jehovah God to start the rapture now.
Yeah. Get a jump on this, Lord. So I know 2012 is the end, even though those Mayan people who, you know, got in this country illegally...
All right,
built
so we
their
just
fort
talked to Dennis in South Carolina, who he likes Rick Santorum because he's pro-family, meaning a gay basher, meaning he doesn't want.
Right.
And Dennis apparently once had to explain to his kids two men kissing.
What?
We're just wondering how that discussion went. We were sort of.
That means that they're going to hell.
Daddy would like you to grow up to be a bigot like I am, and.
See, they're people you're supposed to hate.
And I want tater tots!
That's the little brother.
Yeah, the kids could care less.
I want tater tots!
I want pancakes with my tater tots!
Those two guys are kissing, they have tater tots!
You'll eat your homophobia first and you'll like it before you get any dessert.
Daddy, if I kiss a man, do I get tater tots?
What was that guy doing in the city anyway? Aren't that ring of suburbs there to protect gay from the people like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a weed out process. It's like nine gay people who live at strategic points so that if you see them, you know to drive back home.
Into gay land.
Yes. It's like Hal invented the word Austinite. It's what what keeps Republicans out of Austin, Texas.
Right, yeah.
Kim in St. Paul.
I can't.
Hi, Kim.
The problem with Santorum is not that he's pro-family, it's that he's anti every other type of family.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no frothy mix of family types that will satisfy Santorum.
A very good point. With a dollop of immaturity. I like it.
Yes.
Big foamy dollop.
Yeah.
Nevi in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nevi.
Hi. Sarah.
Hi.
This is on a lighter tone, but first of all, I'm a staunch Democrat, progressive. Just mailed out a bunch of literature on my own to my hometown people, trying to get them to join us.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a real Republican area in Michigan. But on the lighter tone, Deerfield, Michigan has a little festival every year to raise money for their causes, and it's called the Testicle Festival.
Oh, I'm in.
And I just thought it'd be something fun for you to do.
Sure. Thank you very much.
We should bring the sexy liberal tour to the Testicle Festival.
I'm sure that'd be a ball. Okay. Woohoo! Really?
I guess one?
Linda.
The guy who owns the show just called. You've been sacked.
Hey! Linda in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, Linda.
No, you're Linda. I'm Stephanie. My gosh. Check the tag in your underwear.
You got me so frazzled.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to comment on that gentleman that called and saying that, you know, marriage has always been between a man and a woman, and that justifies that. So, you know what? In the Middle Ages, you had the right of the prima nota, which was for centuries. The feudal lord had the right to sleep with the bride, any bride, in his fiefdom the first night when she got married. The Christian Catholic Church said nothing about that for centuries.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also,
they helped enforce it.
Right.
Yeah, yes.
They signed off on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. All right. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, if your drinking game included the word Santorum or floated, you're pretty much still sloshed this morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rachel was jabbing him on purpose last night. Everybody else was pretty much oblivious. you know, every adjective they used to describe him was funny last night. But anyway, all kidding aside, though, Romney can't get above 25%.
Right.
Because he doesn't speak to conservative values. I mean, he either sounds disingenuous when he does try to speak of it, or he just doesn't speak of them at all.
What, and are you saying quoting a patriotic song sounds disingenuous and weird?
I mean, he always sounds like, you say, clip art. And so, the conservatives aren't stupid either. And so,
some of them are.
Some of them are.
Yes, well, he enjoys bipartisan hatred. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Mittens.
I will go to work to get America back to work by making America once again the most attractive place in the world for job creators and innovators and investors. And jobs will begin to flow like they have in the past.
Right.
I keep our tax rates competitive. Get regulators and regulations to see their job is to encourage enterprise. Make sure we open up new markets for American goods. And finally, take advantage of the energy resources we have here in oil and gas and coal and nuclear and renewables.
Silver and gold. Oh my.
I think we should go back to slavery. That'd be a very competitive business environment. We don't have to pay them anything at all.
In defense of that caller, though, that was a tradition that went on for a long time, and maybe we should stick to it. Just because we've been doing it, we might as well keep
doing traditional.
It. It's traditional. You know what I mean?
Here's another quote from Mitt Romney quoting... what's the song, America the Beautiful?
Oy.
And then he explains the line that he just quotes.
Oh, God.
Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years. The founding fathers, you see, created something not just good for their time, but that sees beyond the years.
And years are people, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
you know,
they are.
Beyond the years. Well, they kind of actually kind of ran aground in the 20th century when we let women vote and... And
this is what counts for comedy on the Republican side. I read
black
a story
became a whole person.
Yeah.
About how he did this several times. This, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. And then he goes, if you count corn as an amber wave of grain, why, you have them right here. Apparently,
really?
That got crickets the first time. And then he tried it again. He brushed up his delivery. And then it got polite laughter. And then the last time he did it in Iowa yesterday, it got, woohoo!
Oh, God.
That's, that's hilarious.
It's open mic night in Iowa. Jeez.
All right. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tim. Hello, Tim.
Stephanie, I listen to your show all the time, by the way. You guys are really funny, whether you intend to be or not.
Yes.
Well, I get it. Right. Yeah. So, that's hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right.
My question, I just want to ask you about the lies you're spreading about Ron Paul.
Right. Okay.
Which lies?
Hey, let's do two parts. First, I'd like you to defend your claim that he's racist.
There was something called the Ron Paul newsletter. There was something called the Ron Paul newsletter that had years and years worth of incredibly racist statements. He thinks the 1964 Civil Rights Act should be overturned.
Yeah, defend it, but stop talking.
Right.
Listen to me.
Sorry.
Okay.
Does he not? And by the way, defend his wanting to eliminate the EPA, the Department of Education, the Department of Energy.
Let's talk about the newsletters right now.
Okay.
You guys brought that up.
Sure.
So that happened 20 years ago. He didn't write them. He didn't edit it. He disavows it.
He published them.
He published them.
For profit. And sold them.
So the publisher is always held responsible for the content.
Yes.
If you
had a Tim from Madison newsletter, don't you think you'd have some vague, understanding of what was in the Tim from Madison newsletter?
Okay.
Beware
of
fleet-footed black people, says Tim from Madison.
Personal beliefs and what his writers believe in. And I think he's made it very clear. I think there's nobody better that defends civil liberties than Ron Paul.
You may be right on that.
But you're going back 20 years to find dirt on this guy. That's telling.
No, that's one of the things that's been brought up against him. My biggest problem with him is his non-interventionist military policy applies blanketly with almost no variance in that policy. His only variance seems to be hot wars, quick and dirty hot wars that you can get over quickly. And that's the only ones he seems to sign off on. But any kind of like foreign aid or involvement in the UN or NATO or those kind of things, he's totally against, almost in
Tim,
abstract.
He doesn't think we should have gotten into World War II.
Yeah.
I mean, the Japanese bombed us. Do you think we should not have gotten into World War II?
No, Ron Paul would have supported World War II.
No, he did not.
He said,
saving the Jews was none of our business.
He's for legal wars. If the Congress votes for war, he says, let's go to war.
He doesn't think we should have fought World War II.
He said we shouldn't have gone into World War II because saving the Jews is not our business.
If Congress was into World War II, he would have gone into World War II.
No, he said he wouldn't have.
No, that's his policy.
Yes,
you're lying about that.
Yes, no.
No.
Yes, no. I know you are. What am I?
Well, no, there's a lot of that.
Let me give him a gift. It's
wow.
Ron Paul.
The country has suffered a lot in a negative way. The economy's in trouble. Our civil liberties are being trashed. Our foreign policy has been a mess and drains us both economically and our military forces. But at the same time, people are coming together, and we had the task, where we are very successful, is reintroducing some ideas the Republicans needed for a long time, and that is That is the conviction that freedom is popular.
Mm-hmm.
What?
What?
Mm.
Huh?
Hmm?
Well, freedom is popular.
We're against freedom? I don't... Okay.
But if you're gay, he thinks a state should be able to decide whether or not you have the right to marry.
State should be free to decide whether they should own slaves or not.
Yeah, whether slavery is legal.
Carl,
they should have the freedom to do
Carl that. In Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Stephanie. First of all, before I get to my point about the election last night, please stop with the Ron Paul thing, guys. It was 20 years ago. That just means that it took 20 years for us to find out he was a racist.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And don't you love, like, all bad things people do are in the past, usually? Like, you know.
You would think that the candidates all come out against him being against foreign intervention, and I'm banging my head against my television saying, no, guys, you should be against him because he's an old Texas racist.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, it's like Newt Gingrich. They defended him being a dirtbag, going, oh, well, that was a long time ago.
Please, you know, well, with that being said, the Mitt Romney thing last night, the most incredible thing about that selection was that it took Mitt 5 years to get 25%, and it took Santorum 5 days to get 25%.
Right.
What that's telling me is that, especially being here in the South and living in the South, is that evangelical xenophobes in this country would not support a Mormon without kicking and screaming. And we can skirt around this all we want. These people in the Republican Party, let's get away from the underlying races. We know that. But these are xenophobic people that have been trained even more over the past 10 years to hate any religion that's not evangelical Christian male. They kind of accept Catholics now, kind of, sort of, but they will not accept a Mormon. That's 40, 50 years down the line. Have a good day, guys.
All right, absolutely. You too. And listen, rest assured that if Rick Santorum becomes president, he will not make your life better by giving other people's money. You can rest assured of that.
Okay. Well,
so he's not like he's racist. He's trying to help you.
Yes.
He doesn't want to help black people with government help.
Because only black people get welfare.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you see, it's kind of tough love.
Bottom line is, I don't want to make black people's lives better by giving them somebody else's money. I want to give them the opportunity to go out and earn the money and provide for themselves and their families.
I didn't realize
the best way to do that.
They don't have the opportunity to get a
is
job.
To get the manufacturing sector of the economy. Because
Obama is a racist.
You picked out the same thing I did, Jim. Who's the little junior racist there?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Well, and also,
it was a little muffled under her hood.
I want to get the manufacturing sector.
Right. That's why. Okay, hang on. Let me lift my hood.
Right. Rick.
I want to get the manufacturing sector back in order so that black people can go to work. Because that's what black people do, is vocational jobs. It's the same equivalent of poor kids should be cleaning toilets from Gingrich, the guy who shops at Tiffany's with his wife and runs up $150,000 or $200,000 tab. The first thing that comes to mind when he goes, what jobs could poor kids do?
Oh,
could they help
in
the library sorting books? No, they should clean toilets.
47 minutes
but
after the hour.
That's what poor people do.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the 52 minutes
because
after
I
the
hate
hour.
That song. I'm not hating it with your ears. You can still like it.
All right.
That's how music opinion goes.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. A lot of people want to comment on this. It is amazing how people just go, Ron Paul had no responsibility for the Ron Paul newsletter or anything. It was a long time ago.
Yeah. You don't
so here
that.
Now is our rendition of what it would be like if Hitler were running in the Republican primary this time.
I did not write Mein Kampf. It's not Mein Kampf, it's his Kampf. The other guy with the funny mustache and the jumpers. Just because my name is on the book, you assume that I wrote it? Quatsch! You're all crazy people.
But it says your name on the bottom of it.
Thank you.
Name's on the cover.
Kevin in California. Hi, Kev.
Hi, how are you guys? Listen, nobody's put the Kugelfang question to Ron Paul, and that is,
how can you name your child after Ayn Rand and have a Randian philosophy and call yourself a Christian?
Absolutely.
The two are diametrically opposed, and it doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know,
he's an enigma.
Yeah, Kevin, Hal was just making that point that it's kind of hilarious that Ron Paul got some of the, what do you think, second
vote.
In the evangelical vote.
He came in second in the evangelical vote, which is just, and it's based solely on his supposedly pro-life position, although he would not intervene in a situation like Rwanda because God knows there's no pregnant women being affected on by an outside force.
No moral imperative there.
No, none whatsoever. It's none of our business, actually. They're outside the country, so they're on their own.
He's about to invade New Hampshire, though.
We will go on. We will raise the money. I have no doubt about the volunteers. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Everything to be satisfied and be ready and raring to move on to the next stop, which is New Hampshire.
Yeah! Yeah!
He's just this shy of...
Yeah!
Right. I mean, he could have tacked it on to the end. Here's the thing. Like, all the Ron Paul supporters just want to completely avoid anything that doesn't paint him in an evangelical light. And the truth is... Ayn Rand said anybody with any religious conviction is mentally deficient. They're insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're mentally deficient. They are weak of will, broken mentally, and don't deserve the right to vote, much less the right to live in the country. And she considers them part of that useless eater crowd. Okay, you can't be a Christian and support Ayn Rand. And he named his kid after that woman.
And his kid, who is deeply weird and wears a tribble on his head.
Just because just his kid
not to be unchristian.
Yeah.
Rebecca in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rebecca.
Good morning.
Hello.
I have a statement for Dennis, who was apparently traumatized by having to tell his 9-year-old about two gays kissing.
Right. Yes.
When I was 8 years old, my father's childhood friend transitioned from male to female.
Oh.
And, you know, and he was... Man is there, you know, well, baby boomer, but, you know, still kind of, he hadn't been through something like that before. And they had a lot of issues. There were a lot of problems for many years. But when I asked him about what was going on, he sat me down and he explained in a very gentle and a very non-judgmental, open-minded fashion. And he said that Joan was still the woman he knew. That I knew and had known all my life.
Right. How traumatic for you. You sound like you've never gotten over it.
How do you even go outside?
And
then you got tater tots, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got tater tots.
Are you calling us from a panic room? Because that's the only thing that makes sense in all this. Is if you were calling from a basement with a phone in it and video screens and you were growing your nails like Howard Hughes.
You sounded exactly like Jodie Foster.
I saw
Stephanie.
My dad didn't have a complete description that explained what was going on, and now I live in the basement of a preschool because I can't emotionally grow past that point.
Lee in Illinois. Hi, Lee.
Hi. I think that a lot of Ron Paul supporters don't recognize that his policies are all pre-1930s. Mm-hmm. And if you would just preface it by saying, back in my day, they would just tune him out.
Okay, thank you for that.
We can't bust heads like we used to, but we have our ways.
Well, you got it.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere.
He's the new John McCain, only in a...
Back in my day, the Nubians weren't allowed anywhere near the pyramids.
Right.
How can he choose what's right for America when he can't even choose the right size
I'm
suit?
I'm for traditional American values.
Why does he buy a suit?
Like landowners being able to vote and no one else.
Right. Male white male landowners.
Landowners,
yes.
Right. Strict constitutionalist.
How about a little frothy Santorum dessert? Here we go. Rick Santorum.
You know that New Hampshire is all about grassroots politics, and we feel very good that we're going to climb that ladder just like we did here.
Uh-oh. You're going to really see his Santorum then. He's going to climb the what?
Big view.
Yeah. Woo! Yikes.
Wow.
He's... Might be another come from behind in New Hampshire. You never know.
I think this he could be the come from behind kid.
Mm-hmm. 58.
Definition number 3.
Mm-hmm. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Google Santorum.
Yeah, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Google Santorum.
Google.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Death in the comedy family. Michelle Bachmann's campaign. We join her live now on CNN.
These are five-star hotel rooms at the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel.
What?
This is the kind of over-the-top spending. It's a very small example, Anderson.
Oh, it's a clip. Damn. Okay. I don't even know what the hell that was about. We're waiting for her to have her press conference. Chris, take your organ out, please, won't you? Thanks so much.
Yes.
Death in the comedy family for us. Sexy Liberals, the Bachmann campaign. She will announce she's suspending in any minute. Now we will join it live. Sarah
you
Palin.
Are not quitting this thing.
I bet Marcus is in a frenzy right now.
I
last
am
minute
going to
outfit,
be first lady.
Outfit choices. Well, we are in the winter of the campaign. Maybe the winter white again. No. We need something sunnier.
I must have the Aquitaine.
The Sarah Palin's advice to her was to quit. What a shocker.
What a shock.
Amazing. The one piece of advice she could come up with
she's
was...
She's qualified.
Yes.
Nah, get out now.
Yeah, quit.
Yeah.
Ryan writes, Steph, so the first candidates to drop out of the Republican primary are all the ones that God told to run. It's nice to know God's a practical joker with a wicked sense of humor.
Yeah, right. True. He hasn't been this funny since told Pat Robertson to run.
Yeah. Psst, Herman
Yeah.
And then Rick Perry.
Rick Perry, right.
Yeah. God's funny that way.
Oops.
Psych. And then Ashton Kutcher shows up. Okay. Ha-ha. Just kidding. 7 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com. Check it out. Go to the, please use the links there. We're getting all these reports of hacking sites popping up, et cetera. So thank you for making us the number one comedy album. Check it out. Get it on Google or iTunes, iTunes or Amazon. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, I understand, Chris, that the radio station in San Francisco yesterday... kind of blowed up. Yesterday is the first day they replaced us in Morning Drive with Glenn Beck. Much to some people's shock. We are now airing 7 to 10 p.m. And apparently a lot of folks not so happy. Lots of phone calls, lots of letters, and lots of song parodies.
The boys don't seem to know what's on. As long as their brains are gone. San Francisco Morning Drive. No Steffi at all.
My favorite letter from one was, how's Glenn Beck's comedy album doing?
You mean his book on tape?
No.
Yeah.
Larry from Oak Ridge writes, Steph, I'm your number one fan. I think you're so hot I sacrificed my virginity to a statue of you.
All right.
Whatever.
Okay. Someone built a statue?
Okay.
My wife and I are coming to Portland.
They're available on eBay.
Mm. Coming to Portland to see you this weekend. If I had to describe this year's Republican Party, it would be, I've been to two world fairs and a butt, and I haven't seen an operation like this. Wow, Larry, that's
all right.
Okay, then. All right, sexyliberal.com. Check it out. Portland up next, then we got Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Very excited. February 4th.
Be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got Phoenix in February. We got Chicago March 3rd. Albuquerque is almost sold out. Madison is sold out. On and on and on. And then, you know, the big... by the way, Hal Sparks just got an ad on Facebook that he might like to see the L.A. return of Sexy Liberal.
Yeah. Yeah. Facebook.
I could get you a really good seat. I could get you a seat on stage if you'd like.
You think?
Uh-huh.
Wow. I'd rather stand.
In a world where everyone is going gaga for Sexy Liberal laughs... One Tour is crossing the nation to bring intelligent progressive comedy to you. Nominated for 4 Pollstar Touring Awards, including Best Tour, Best New Tour, and Best Lead Comedy Performer, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to Los Angeles.
On Saturday, July 28th, Stephanie Miller and her band of sexy liberal players will perform live at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, California. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, at all Ticketmaster retail outlets, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the proceeds from the evening's events will be donated to the Trevor Project.
Be swift and get your tickets now. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Don't miss your chance to experience liberal comedy history in the making.
Mm-hmm. I can see the Pantages from my house. Literally. Okay, Adam in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Adam.
Hello.
Hello.
I am in mourning.
Michelle Bachmann will be suspending her campaign this morning. And thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or was that you?
Chris will take his organ out for anybody.
I think it just happens spontaneously whenever God hears that Michelle is suspending her campaign. And this music just, we're not even playing it.
No.
It just starts playing in the air all around us.
Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, hello, Halcyon. I'm sorry. I forgot about
hello.
That.
Hello.
Yes.
But I'm in mourning. I don't know if comedy can handle the loss of Michelle, as I call her, Michelle Bachmann.
No, we've survived. We've survived the loss of Herman Cain. We've survived before. We shall soldier on.
Can I give a hug?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we need.
You know what? Maybe I should wear that little military outfit on Saturday in honor of that. God's little soldier,
maybe
Michelle Bachmann.
She's just gonna go home and hug her AR-15, which she loves so dearly. and you know,
I just effing shot myself.
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh, we are anxiously awaiting. We will join her live. Brenda in California. Hi, Brenda.
Good morning, Steph and Mooks and Hal. How you all doing?
Good.
New Year. I get a joy out of Newt Gingrich. Back in the 90s, the old Newt, he gave key words in his Bible of things to say about Democrats and to demean them.
Right.
Now, Romney has read his little Bible and using those terms and things against him.
Right.
Now he can't stand it. It's all lies. He shouldn't do this. We got to be kind to one another. It's
Brenda, there's going to be another picture of him in a diaper somewhere. I'm almost sure of it.
We are not going to go out and run nasty ads. Uh-huh. We're not going to go out and run 30-second
nice
gotchas. We're not.
But
I do reserve the right to tell the truth.
He's not Frank, frankly.
And if the truth seems negative, that may be more a comment on his record than it is on politics.
Okay. So that'll be negative campaigning.
All we are saying
is give hate a chance, frankly.
Come on. Nudie yesterday.
We'll have one other great debate. And that is whether this party wants a Reagan conservative who helped change Washington in the 1980s with Ronald Reagan and helped change Washington in the 1990s as Speaker of the House.
For the worse.
Somebody who is into changing Washington.
Mm.
Or we want
into
a Massachusetts moderate who, in fact, will be pretty good at managing the decay, but has given no evidence in his years in Massachusetts of any ability to change the culture or change the political structure or change the government.
Mm. This is the guy that shut the government down in the 90s.
Yeah.
He was criticizing President Obama yesterday for saying he's not working with Congress.
He's
the way you made it work.
He is a Reagan conservative, though, so you can look forward to him raising taxes 11 times.
Exactly. Mm.
It may be a double comedy blow. Rick Perry, the little dumber boy.
But with the voters' decision tonight in Iowa, I've decided to return to Texas, assess the results of tonight's caucus, determine whether there is a path forward for myself in this race.
Who
said this is weird one conservative who just goes and agrees with the first sentence of everybody.
Every
we should watch for them at the Michelle Bachmann announcement. I have chosen to suspend my campaign.
It's the same woman that's when Rick Santorum said, we're not going to give black people other people's money.
Right. Like a little angel. It just appeared.
Right.
It's
go
the
home.
Cindy Lou Who.
Yes. Stop it. Quit it. You misunderstood God. It's time to admit that you misunderstood.
Bam, bam, bam. All right, I don't. She's a breathy little
God
thing.
God didn't say run for office. He said get off it. It's a different thing. Unplug your ears.
All right, Mitt Romney trying to remain unruffled about Gingrich calling him a liar.
I don't know why he's so angry. I think he's mad for a lot of reasons, but I think he's a good guy. I like his wife, Calista. Wish him well. This can be a long campaign. And, you know, I think we're going to plow ahead.
By the way, speaking of wives, Herman.
His current wife, Calista.
Yes.
We'll see how long that lasts.
That would have been funny if he said current wife. Speaking of wives, Herman Cain says, my wife's doing great. Thanks for asking. She's super. Thanks.
She's
fabulous.
He made a TV appearance on the morning of the Iowa caucuses and said his wife, Lori, has been doing marvelous since he quit the race amid allegations.
Marvelous.
Much better.
Wonderful.
Since I haven't been in the race, fewer and fewer people have come out and tried to stop me from being president since I'm not trying to be president anymore.
She said that he said she's doing fine because since I got out of the race, we don't have to constantly hear the spinning and respinning of those false accusations, which are both false and not true. And
yeah. and inaccurate.
Yes, and Romney
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I said Romney should have pointed out the irony that Gingrich has had several more wives than he has.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or could
There's that. Exactly. All right. The little dumber boy again, Rick Perry on Santorum.
I'm having a little fun with Rick. You know, he's running as a fiscal conservative, and you look at his record in Washington, D.C. for those years that he was there. He's a king of pork barrel politics. And, you know, I love Iowa pork, but Washington pork, I don't have much use for.
It's a bad live to Rick's.
Get it? It's a barbecue thing.
Barbecue thing.
It's a Rick-off.
Where am I? What
All right.
state is this?
Okay. 17 minutes after the hour, we're going to break so we can hopefully join Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, yeah.
Live.
These are the last days.
Oh, look at your whole again.
He's going to be back there playing his organ. Oh.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Michelle Bachmann live.
We're made to establish the United States and the precious principles of freedom that make it the greatest force for good that has ever been seen on the planet.
Oh, she's kind of droopy.
Every generation has served as the next stepping stone down the path of our liberty. And every day I'm reminded of that conviction that we have to the principles of freedom and justice by a painting. It's a painting that hangs in the United States Capitol. It's made by Howard Chandler Christie's scene at the signing of the Constitution of the United States. It hangs in the East Grand Stairway of the
He's
United States Capitol.
He's being so passive-aggressive, putting
Every
her in a horizontal stripe.
Every with this painting. But I've been privileged to
Not
see it on a regular basis doing my duties in Congress. But never was the painting's poignant reminder.
Poignant?
No, that takes
on the evening of March 21st, 2010.
She said poignant a couple weeks ago. She could have been the GOP nominee.
And staring out from the painting are the faces of the founders, and in particular the face of Ben Franklin, who served as a constant reminder of the fragile republic that he and the founders gave to us.
French women.
Nostalgic.
That day served as the inspiration for my run for the presidency of the United States.
What?
Because I believe firmly
in
that
bifocals.
What the Congress had done and what President Obama had done in passing Obamacare endangered the very survival of the United States of America, our republic. Because I knew that it was my obligation to ensure that President Obama's program of socialized medicine was stopped before it became fully implemented.
Oh,
my message has been the necessity for the complete repeal of Obamacare in this once-in-a-lifetime campaign cycle for the presidency. Because Obamacare represents the largest expansion of entitlement spending in our country's history.
What?
And it has now become the playground of left-wing social engineering, where the right will always lose every battle, and the left already has been given the formula for passing their agenda.
Because
it
people
must
like it.
Be stopped.
And,
and its repeal is more than just a cliche for me. It's essential to my core of conviction, because Obamacare violates our fundamental liberties as Americans, including for the first time in the history of our country, taxpayer-funded abortion.
The freedom to be
troubled by the state of our country, I ran for the presidency foremost as an American citizen who believes in the foundation and in the greatness of our American principles.
Our principles derive
their meaning from the founders' beliefs, which were rooted in the immutable truths of the Holy Scripture, the Bible.
No,
concession speech ever.
By title, a politician I never have been, nor will I ever hope to be, because I am not motivated in this quest by vainglory or the promise of political power.
Right.
I have served one singular purpose in Washington, D.C., to lead an effort that was begun by the people of this country. I ran as the next stepping stone of passing on and protecting that torch of liberty. And that duty required taking on the charge of repealing both Obamacare and Dodd-Frank, which mandated ensuring the election of 13 additional Republican senators to guarantee
that legislation's demise. Get to the quitting
These
part.
Words are a warning. The implementation of Obamacare will represent a turning point for our country and our economy.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a future painting. in Christie's vein might depict should Obamacare be ultimately placed into effect.
Which Christie?
Would future generations ask of us,
Chris Christie,
gathered here today, what did we do? What did we give? What did we sacrifice to ensure the survival of this incomparable republic?
The rich.
I ran because I realized 2012 is our last chance and
it's
our only chance
days.
To repeal Obamacare and Dodd-Frank.
Before
and
the rapture.
I knew how to get rid of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran not only for me, but I also ran to elect 13 more Republican United States senators who had helped me to repeal that legislation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I ran because I believe
that
since day one, Barack Obama's policies based on socialism are destructive to the very foundation of the republic.
The things I'm never
and I ran
do.
Because I wanted my children and all of the children of this country to live free and have even
somebody's
better
thinking of the
opportunities
children.
Than our parents gave to us.
Free from
and
healthcare.
I ran to secure the promise of our children's future. And so I decided to stand up,
bring back smallpox,
stand up and fight for our freedom,
and
stand up
meat.
For the survival of the nation.
And I ate it
and
early
I
and
will
badly.
Continue fighting to defeat the president's agenda of socialism. And I'll continue
just
to fight
not anywhere
for,
that matters.
For more liberty and less government, to stop the overspending in Washington, to keep our country
she did. She said, I ran because.
Free, safe, and sovereign,
so now she's gonna say,
and to fight against crony capitalism. Fight to end excessive government regulation and a tax
not on our game.
That is absolutely unfair and is killing American competitiveness. I will fight to legalize American energy production. I will fight for American families. I'll fight to protect life from conception until natural death.
Yes,
protect life
traditional
from conception?
Marriage. And I'll fight to secure our
right,
borders.
Marcus.
Well, that's abstinence-only
education. And I'll fight to protect religious liberty.
I'm all for suspending
I'll fight for
my fake marriage.
And for the American people every day in the way that God
Marcus
allows me
gay.
To. And so I came here to this wonderful
state
of Iowa where I was born
He's
and raised.
Gay.
And that I've come to trust and love. And I had just
and
one
I,
message to tell you.
They told me to go
that
home.
I mean what I say. And I say what I mean. And I've told you the truth that our country is in very serious trouble and that this might be the last election to turn the
Please,
nation around
Marcus,
before
sing,
we
sing
go
I am
down
what I am.
The road
Marcus,
to socialism, to a burden of debt too heavy for our children to bear. And I didn't tell you what the polls said that you wanted to hear. I didn't tell you what I knew to be false. I didn't try to spin you. I listened to the people of Iowa and all across America,
and
they agreed that President Obama and his socialist policies must be stopped. And I sought the nomination of the party of Reagan, the party of Lincoln, that believes in the strength and the goodness of the American people, and that America is and does remain the greatest force for good.
At least until November 2012, according to
the people. I believe that government has the answers. The people do. The government
Leave,
should
go.
Respect the rights and the opportunities of the people to
there's
whom
the
we
music.
Are accountable.
God, there's the
because
hook.
We believe that government should do
even
its
though those
job,
people said they would prefer
the
something along the lines of Obamacare.
Thank your gay husband and get off
it
stage.
It should do it without spending more than what it takes in.
Who, by the way,
so
is wearing a pink
night,
tie.
Yes. The people of Iowa spoke with Daddy a very on. Clear voice. And so I have decided to stand aside.
I got to stick something in my eye. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's the number one cause of teen pregnancy, school violence, and leather pants.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour.
Joe, my God, just tweeted, now that Michelle has dropped out, it's time for Lady Bird to come out. Put on your best Lane Bryant caftan and work the truth, girl.
Come on, go on, Marcus. It's time. End the charade. Suspend your...
Your
beard.
Shem.
Yeah.
Marriage.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, we.
I loved her choice of language, though. You know, I'm not. She wasn't suspending her campaign.
I'm
it says,
standing aside.
Standing aside.
Sure.
I'm still standing aside. I'm standing.
I'm still standing.
Standing.
Better than
ever been. Yeah.
I'm just saying, really passive aggressive, putting her in the horizontal stripes. I mean, oh.
Not
for television.
Make her look big shouldered, so she looked strong. She could take the weight of the world upon her giant horizontal shoulders.
Arnold, hi, I'm dressed as a test pattern.
Right.
America has gone.
America's just in honor of America just going.
I'm Michelle Bachman, and I'm experiencing technical difficulty. We will return to the normally scheduled campaign after these messages.
Arnold in North
Carolina.
Hi, Arnold.
Hey, Steph,
how
you
doing?
Good.
Oh,
she's gone. I'm telling you, what started the deterioration in her popularity was what she did to that corn dog over there at the States Fair. It started from there.
Well, the fact that she lost
ever since.
Well, that she lost to Marcus in the corn dog shaming event.
Exactly.
Please stand by.
Please stand by.
We're experiencing
Michelle Bachman.
I'm Michelle Bachman.
And I'm dressed like a television test pattern.
One moment. We'll be back right after. Yes, we're just experiencing.
Well, America, I'm going to be the Indian in the headrest.
While America regains its senses.
We are going to Texas to try and see if we can join forces with Rick Perry for a fourth party bid.
Sue in Los Angeles. Hi, Sue.
Oh, you guys, I'm going to crash my car. If I had to listen to that voice when the bombs were coming, my God.
Yeah, humming. She'd be sending them. That's the whole point.
Right. Yeah.
She, you know.
Did you hear her latest thing? We should like arm the missiles and just, you know, take the safeties off just to show Iran what's what.
Wow.
Bill in L.A. Hi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi, folks. I hope you have your change ready because obviously. Michelle Bachman's having a fire sale on crazy in that speech.
Yeah, right.
I'm looking forward later today to hearing Rick Perry talk about the decision of the people of Iowa that he's too stupid to be
leader. I was going to say, the voters of Iowa suspended her campaign.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm suspending my campaign because no one's interested in it. Well, no, then they're doing it for you.
Apparently you did not find that speech as poignant as she did.
Oh, pregnant. Perry's staying in race.
Oh,
breaking news.
John,
Bachman must be at home going, don't, buddy, he promised.
Oh.
We were supposed to quit together.
We were supposed to jump together.
Yeah.
John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi. It's sad. America's sweetheart is out of the race.
Sarah Palin was in the race.
Her campaign.
Yep.
Bachman, Marcus did?
Yes. All right.
Oh.
It really was. Hell, it was like a trust exercise. And he's a bastard.
Yeah, he was supposed to catch her. Rick Perry was supposed
to catch
her.
Don't you worry, because I'll go right after you. You fall backwards, I'll catch you.
No, he just forgot the word suspend. We did a good show in here in Iowa. We've done our best, and we're going to,
what's the third
thing? What were we going to do?
How did she pronounce it again, Jim?
Poignant.
She pronounced the G.
Poignant.
It took a lot of chutzpah to say poignant.
Poignant.
Yeah, this is a very poignant time.
Chutzpah.
Wow.
Okay.
I'd say poignant, but it sounds too French, so I'll say poignant.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world. See what's doing. Erica Bowling from The Five.
Stop, please. Stop. It's not Romney yet. There's the conservative movement out there, and I'm speaking
to
for every one of them. There is still an opportunity for a real conservative to be not only the GOP nominee, to be the next president of the United States.
Wait a second.
One of them.
Okay.
Who's that harpy?
He's a
real... What is that?
He's a Santorum backer.
That was the
line
sack
of Q.
Oh.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he didn't. But again, all he did was basically say anybody with Romney.
Right.
I mean, that was literally his. I mean,
exactly. Ari Fleischer on the Situation Room.
It looked to me like he was rechanneling the old Bob Dole. Angry. Don't lie about. Angry. Stop lying about my record. The mean newt. This is the newt that kills him every time. And it's not a good tactic for him to take forward.
Bob Dole thinks newts to stop stealing Bob Dole's act. Next thing you know, start speaking to Bob Dole, speaking to Newt Gingrich in the third person.
Frankly, I've had problems.
Herman Cain already stole Bob Dole's act of speaking to himself in the third
Herman
person.
Herman Cain frankly, thinks Bob Dole should shut up.
Frankly, when I need a erectile dysfunction advice, I'll go someplace else.
Right.
Frankly.
We know he doesn't have that problem. He has a giant roaming patriotic penis, as you know.
Hey.
That's, you know, the whole reason he had to cheat, because he cares so passionately. He can't control it.
Oof.
Okay, Steve Hayes.
Mind of its own. It runs up bills at Tiffany's.
Sure, yeah. Steve Hayes on Burt Burr.
Got Newt Gingrich, who I think clearly wants to continue, even if he comes in fourth or fifth, in part because he's so angry about what Mitt Romney has done to him and Ron Paul to a lesser extent.
I'm curious,
and it sounds like he wants to carry out what could be a campaign of vengeance, even if he doesn't do well here.
Vengeance is mine, says Seth and Newt, frankly.
Frankly, and Newt.
Okay. All right. Oh, Pat Robertson, is he going to tell us who God wants to be president?
No,
now
he's not going to tell us.
First couple that God told are out. Well,
I spent the better part of a week in prayer and just saying, God, show me something, and I'll share with
you. I'll show you mine. Show me
some
yours.
Things I'll share with you. I think he showed me about the next president, but I'm not supposed to talk about that, so I'll leave you in the dark.
Probably just as well.
Probably just as well, but I think I know who it's going to be.
Yeah.
Was that
Barack Obama?
Was that a racist joke?
Yeah.
Leave you in the dark.
I'll leave you in the dark. Oh, it's a code.
Dog whistle.
Darkish e darky. I'll leave you in the dark.
Okay, time for
try to read between the lines.
Yeah. You mean he's gonna tell you who's gonna be president like when he told you were gonna be president back in the '80s?
Oh, boy. It's Dueling Crazy Pastors, Pastor Robert Jeffress on the Fox and Friends.
Look, what I believe is not out of the mainstream at all.
Yes,
USA Today cited a poll that said 75% of Protestant pastors believe that Mormons aren't Christians. So this is not some new idea. But, of course, my problem with Mitt Romney is not just the Mormon issue. It's a lack of consistency on those values that we as evangelicals hold as important ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Here's
another God warrior.
People who don't believe your values of your system aren't going to be consistent with your values or system. Right. That's just dumb.
And also, USA Today said that 99% of KKK members don't like black people.
Yeah.
And okay, and
they don't hold my values of not liking all 100 of them. And I don't understand math.
Rush Limbaugh, he doesn't understand this whole income inequality thing.
There's so many myths. The income gap getting wider, it isn't.
Not for me.
The rich getting richer, they aren't. You know, people move in and out of all these financial categories constantly.
Right.
They're all fluid.
Yes, I've never seen a poor person from the veranda in my estate in Palm Beach. What are you talking about?
I have mounted wall-mounted guns, tasers to keep people from. I've electrified the bushes around my house to keep them away. I've got poor people seeking lasers. Can anybody buy those from Hemmicker Schlemmer? You can get those at
Jennifer
Brookstone.
In Delaware. Hal, it's for you.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Ma. Hi, Boone.
Hi.
My speaker crush, Hal.
Really quickly,
before I say anything else, I just want to say you guys should still do the mystery theater.
The debate?
That
yeah.
That would be hilarious. I'm sitting here in tears. Anyway, my question was to Hal. It's about the NDAA, the National Defense Bill. Me and my husband have been going back and forth about this bill.
Right.
And I'm trying to persuade him to not listen to all of, like, all of this hoopla.
To Glenn Greenwald?
And
Nicole Sandler about it? Right.
By the way, I heard you last week when she was calling it for Randy. Total ambush. Well, attempt anyway.
Well, the issue is, okay, here's the thing. There's three sections of that bill that can be interpreted 100 different ways. Originally, unfortunately, the first version of the bill could be interpreted that it was mandatory military custody for anybody suspected of terrorism. So the minute you get picked up by the LAPD, you get put in military custody and shipped off to Guantanamo or one of our other sites to await trial that may or may not ever come. Okay, that's the big scary. Okay, the Obama administration was successful in taking that language out. They were also successful in saying that while this bill doesn't make any new law, it guarantees it doesn't apply to American citizens. And there's a sentence
about
that.
And he did
that.
A signing statement,
absolutely.
Right? Which at least he did one for a good reason, but George Bush did them for,
And then on top of the fact that they added in that bill, covered people does not include American citizens, people in America on a foreign visa even. I mean, it's really actually much broader than it was even, just American citizens. Can't be illegally detained forever, that kind of thing. Plus, habeas corpus still instated, still law, according to the Supreme Court. So the problem was it didn't wipe out the ambiguity. Mm-hmm. That's what the ACLU's problem with it was, and I have the same problem with it. But the idea that it was an indefinite detention bill and it codified it permanently is BS, and it's a sales point. And unfortunately, a lot of people got sucked into that argument from the other side. What it didn't do was eliminate what the ambiguity, which we should have a bill that does that, but it didn't add new law and it didn't give him the supreme power to pick up American citizens and ship them off.
That deep sigh means Jim's going to say something.
Well, I think you should scrap the Patriot Act completely.
I mean, totally agree. Yeah, I agree, but this is not him signing the Patriot Act. Right. And I didn't see the people who are flipping out about the NDAA flipping out on the same level about the Patriot Act, which is full of a lot more stuff that the Obama administration, by the way, isn't using, and the next Republican president would love to use.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't see the Congress trying to repeal that either. We need to put the blame where it goes.
There you go. There's your ammunition to,
other than
your
that,
husband.
I have no opinion.
Whoever that woman is called. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back for the remaining moments. Hump Days with Sexy Little Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. Do it. Do Prince. Do it. That was Spark. Sexy Liberal, his own bad self. We'll see you in Portland, by the way,
animals.
This Saturday. Yeah. Pick up the Sexy Liberal comedy album.
Like...
And also, Hal Sparks got himself a brand new TV show.
Yay. Yep.
Yay.
Yep. Tell us when. Tell
starting
us when.
February, Mondays at 8:30 on the Disney XD, which is on your cable box, is a series called Lab Rats, where I play Donald Davenport, a billionaire inventor who creates three bionic kids who are superheroes who fight crime. And
he's a Disney dad.
Yeah, a Disney dad.
He's a Disney dad.
A billionaire inventor.
I'm like a cross between Tony Stark and Richard Branson.
Which is funny if you've ever been on the road with Hal. I'll tell
it's
the story later. Anyway, we're very proud of you and very excited.
So, it's 8:30 on Monday nights. Set your TiVos on Disney XD. It's called Lab Rats.
Yay!
Yep.
Matt in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Is Rick Perry sticking in this race because he thinks that his biggest competitor was Michelle Bachmann?
I think he thinks he's going to pick up, her, those caucus goers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I think he's going to, he's like, if we start weeding this out, Santorum's never going to make it. Santorum is going to fail. So if he can pick up those evangelicals who are going for Santorum, it's really how well Santorum did that made Rick Perry stay in.
People are also going to find out how wackadoodle he is the more scrutiny he gets. He reiterated his belief that states should have the right to outlaw contraception during an interview on ABC News.
Right.
Yeah, state's right thing. State has a right to do that. Never question. State has a right to do that. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, you too can have as many shiny, whiny kids as the Santorums.
So, you believe life starts at conception, so you're anti-abortion, pro-life, this is your attitude or whatever, but you're against contraception, which stops the pregnancy before it can happen. Mm-hmm. Like, no condoms, no nothing, no. Mm-hmm. Right.
Andy Borowitz tweets, remember, Michelle Bachmann doesn't know the meaning of the word surrender. Also the word science, math, apple, and cat. Or also, what was the word? Oh.
Poignant.
Which is a lot of chutzpah to say poignant.
Yeah, that way, right? Hello.
On national TV.
Yeah, there's a story today about how Newt blew it in Iowa roadmap. And a lot of people said this that know him. They said that Newt Gingrich will be defeated by Newt Gingrich, the same as always.
Right.
And they talk about the high water mark when he got the New Hampshire Union Leader endorsement. He proceeded to squander it. The story goes on Politico, instead of seizing the moment, making an aggressive case for why the contest was now a two-man race between a movement conservative and a flip-flopping moderate, he fell back to his familiar habits, a routine marked by too much self-assurance and not enough discipline. Between that and some other key factors, among them the Super PAC, Romney Super PAC, this has been a great example of best of Newt and the worst of Newt.
Well, here's the thing.
In the winter of our discontent.
One of the big complaints about a lot of these Republicans is their lack of sort of message discipline and their lack of focus on things. But the problem is they have no actual philosophy for governing. They have a theoretical philosophy on how they think things should run, but it's all based on stuff that's been tried and failed miserably. Yeah. And they keep trying to shoehorn it back in.
Yeah.
But you can't make a plan based on snow for the summer. You know what I mean? Like,
but I mean, part of it,
they're
just saying it's his ego. It's, he had to be smart. They're saying he had to be smarter than consultants. He didn't pay attention to fundraising and organization, and then he had no way to respond to these ads. And then, you know, and then it's like his own, we're running a positive campaign, and then he just, like, gets flat out nasty, like, the last couple of days because he realized that was the wrong strategy.
The kid gloves are off, frankly.
Yeah, frankly. Exactly. Senior White House officials think it's a little early for President Obama, or, I say he just sits back for a while, to engage in full-scale assault on Republican presidential candidates, no matter how hard they're hitting the president, and plan to wait until the smoke clears in Iowa, New Hampshire, and Florida before kicking their campaign into high gear. Yeah, can you really do a better job than they're already doing? Like, really?
Well, I mean, you know, Tim Pawlenty is now one of the big chairs of Romney's campaign. He's helping run Romney's campaign.
So he can bring that same sizzle that he brought to his own campaign.
Exactly. So that they can both, I mean, that's lightning. T-Paw wants the vice presidential spot. Man, just, can you imagine the electrified? I mean, it'd be like U2 and Lady Gaga touring together on fire with lyrics written by Steven Tyler. I can't, literally.
Yeah.
It'd be like
Mike from Minnesota thinks
time for America.
Ultimately, Perry, Bachman, and Gingrich will now be the Iowa carcasses. Right.
Should be thought of that. Except for the zombie that is the Rick Perry campaign that's just gotten up and started eating the brains.
He's Glenn Close in the bathtub. No.
Yeah, right.
Must eat.
I'm not done. Well,
I will not be ignored like Ron Paul.
Exactly.
Yeah, again, we're talking about Newt Gingrich. We're talking about Rick Perry. We're talking and Ron Paul. And it's not even like we're trying. We're not trying to ignore or not have a conversation about Ron Paul. We probably brought him up more than CNN has. But they're not going to talk about him at all. And he came in third. He got 21%.
I know.
Yeah.
I love how the Paul bots were screaming, you're not talking about, you're not paying attention to Ron Paul. Why aren't you paying attention to Ron Paul? Then when the media paid attention to Ron Paul,
they didn't like it. That was in the past.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Newsletter or no newsletter, let's just have a conversation about what he actually wants to do once he gets in office. And I have a profound political, philosophical, and personal issue with what he wants to accomplish. Let's call the
newsletters
a wash. It's,
as you say, eye sockets and holes, cat food for everybody.
Exactly.
Do you know what cutting $1 trillion from the budget on the first day in office would mean?
Right, exactly. Willy-nilly, too. And without, that's the thing. There's
with a meat axe.
I think we should get rid of all these onerous traffic laws. You should just drive wherever you
want to go. Go, drive.
Don't stop or...
People know what they're doing.
If you want to throw your car in reverse on the
freeway.
Of course,
we won't have driver's ed
either. All right.
You could pay to take driver's ed.
You brought up Lady Gaga, who we're up against, you know, for best tour. And so... I'm going to have to get a lot weirder on the road. Granted, I'm weird enough, but Lady Gaga left a hotel bathtub filled with blood.
What?
Huh?
A housekeeper claimed she was bathing in blood as part of a satanic ritual.
Oh.
I haven't tried that yet.
Great.
Other sources believe she could have been using it as a part of a weird stage costume or prop. A source said she believes in paranormal activity. So do I, ever since that Barbara Hershey movie, The Entity.
Yeah.
Because that'll convince
I may
you.
Get raped by an invisible ghost on the road, you see? And she won't take any risks when they're on the road. It's important to her to be safe from spirits. Now I got to put that in my rider. I need some sort of satanic, goat blood for my bathtub ritual on the road.
Right away, Ms. Miller.
Thank you.
Or maybe she was just getting rid of a competitor. Remember that boyfriend who said he helped co-write the songs? What are we? I haven't heard from him in a while.
Bye-bye.
Maybe she was just dissolving him in a bathtub like a, you know, like a Italian gangster. You know what I mean? Like she brought in a cleaner.
Jim, breaking news from here in California. Maria Shriver reportedly having second thoughts about that divorce in Ronald.
Aww.
She's telling friends she's unsure if she wants to divorce him.
She cannot quit me.
Ha!
Yes. We're told Arnold desperately wants Maria back and has been extremely sweet to her and has made numerous gestures, which include presents, to win her back. I wonder what sort of gifts.
Hmm.
frankly, I advised him to, little blue box goes a long way. Frankly.
He's trying to buy the Kobe rock now that Kobe's getting divorced. You're not using that rock.
You're not using the rock anymore, are you?
All right.
That gets me with the rock is cooking. Ah!
Jim, tomorrow we'll get to the Queen probably did not murder the dead woman found on her estate. Well, why?
No. That was that body's been there for a while.
Sure. Okay.
It has.
It's one of Henry VIII's wives.
Right.
Buy the Sexual Liberal Comedy Tour album and come see Hal Sparks and John Feinstein and I live in Portland on Saturday. See you then. Bye, Hal. Thank you, honey.
Bye. Bye. Bye.